Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see you. Do hope you've all had a good week. Let me read some words from Psalm 33. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Amen. In these difficult and uncertain times, it's good to remind ourselves of God's unfailing love. In the uncertainty, our hope is in the Lord alone, who is unfailing, secure, and unchanging. Let's praise him together as we sing, Beautiful One. My soul will sing. Amen. Let me pray as we come to today's message. Dear Lord, thank you for your unfailing love. Thank you that we know you are totally reliable. You will never leave us. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can trust in you. As we come to your word to us today, will you speak to our hearts and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, continuing our theme of being known by God, I want to look today at forgiveness. Every week we pray the Lord's Prayer together and we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that's what I want to look at today, because we talk a lot about confessing our sins to God and receiving forgiveness, and it's right that we should. And we know that God forgives us if we come to him in true repentance. 1 John 1 verse 9 tells us, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Praise his name, we are forgiven. Our sins will be as white as snow, as Isaiah tells us. And Paul tells us in Romans 8 verse 1, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pause there and let ourselves dwell on the fact we are forgiven. Let's reflect on our salvation brought about by Jesus' amazing sacrifice for us on the cross. Because he shed his blood, we can be clean in God's eyes. As we reflect, let's sing Nothing But the Blood.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Only the blood of Jesus can take away our sins. Amen. But that's not the end of the story. We say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. As we forgive, what does that look like? It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, where we read Jesus teaches the disciples to pray what we now call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus goes on to say in verses 14 and 15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch. Pretty hard hitting, isn't it? But it's clear that our forgiving others is a prerequisite to God forgiving us. Again, we read of Jesus saying a similar thing in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. If we hold anything against anyone. In other words, if we hold on to unforgiveness, we must forgive so that God can forgive us. The notes in my study Bible say for this verse, forgiving others is tough work, so much so that many people would rather do something distasteful than offer forgiveness to someone who has wronged them. True faith changes the heart. Real prayer dismantles pride and vengeance, filling the holes with love. Real faith seeks peace. For our churches to have prayer power, harmony and forgiveness must be evident in the body of believers. Let go of hurts, abandon grudges, and forgive others. There's a lot to think about in that, isn't there? Let me read it again. Forgiving others is tough work, so much so that many people would rather do something distasteful than offer forgiveness to someone who has wronged them. True faith changes the heart. Real prayer dismantles pride and vengeance, filling the holes with love. Real faith seeks peace. For our churches to have prayer power, harmony and forgiveness must be evident in the body of believers. Let go of hurts, abandon grudges, and forgive others. Notice we don't have to wait for the person to say sorry. They may never say sorry. We may never meet them. Sometimes the person or persons who've hurt us are in the past or miles away or are a corporation or a government. But if we hold something against them, we have to forgive so that God can forgive us. The American pastor Rick Warren puts it this way. Be gracious to others and forgive those who've hurt you because God has been gracious to you. You will never have to forgive anyone else more than Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. Remember that you haven't always gotten what you deserved either. God has been gracious with you. Now choose to be gracious with others. It's a conscious choice we make. A group of us have been studying the book The Shack by William P. Young. It's a story about a man called Mac. It's a sort of modern-day parable. Mac's youngest daughter, Missy, is brutally murdered, and neither her body nor the culprit have been found. The Shack is the story of Mac meeting with God and dealing with all the emotions that have built up inside him and have tainted his relationship with God. Towards the end of the book, God asks Mac to forgive the man who killed Missy. You can imagine how hard this is. God says to Mac, "Mac, for you to forgive this man is for you to release him to me and allow me to redeem him." Mac argues about this. He wants vengeance. He can't forget. And then God says, "Forgiveness is not about forgetting, Mac. It is about letting go of another person's throat." We're told in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Our punishment should be death, eternal separation from God. But because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, our debt is paid and we are saved. If God can do that for us in his grace, we too can choose to be gracious and let go of another person's throat. Rick Warren says, "Jesus says we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. If you say, 'I could never forgive that person,' then I hope you never sin. If you just don't feel like doing it, do it anyway, because it's the right thing to do." But where does this all fit in with our theme of being known by God? God knows us, knows how we're made and how we react. And he knows that unless we forgive, our unforgiveness leads to bitterness. And bitterness affects our bodies and our health, our physical health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health. Again, quoting Rick Warren, "Scientists tell us that resentment is the unhealthiest emotion there is. It always hurts you more than anyone else. Resentment will not change the past and it won't solve the problem. It doesn't even make you feel better, it makes you feel worse." Resentment, bitterness, is the root cause of many illnesses. God knows that, and so he's told us how to keep ourselves from it. Forgive others by his grace, with his help. There was an amazing story on the BBC London News recently. It was about two men whose lives collided in 1994 during the times of the Brixton riots. One was a policeman, the other a gang leader. On this particular night in 1994, police were called to some unrest, and two policemen caught two men trying to get away on a motorbike. They had been dealing drugs, and one of the men, Leroy, had drugs on him. He was determined not to get arrested, and so he pulled a gun on the policeman, shooting one in the leg and the other, James, in the back. The bullet just missed his spine and kidney and came out his side. After a long international search, Leroy was eventually arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 25 years in prison. He was 26, and in his words, a nasty piece of work. This long spell in prison, he'd been in prison before for short spells, changed Leroy. And he wrote a book about his experiences, and he now mentors youngsters caught up in gangs. James, now retired, heard about this and reached out to Leroy, saying he was glad he'd changed and commending him for the book and the work he's doing. James had been brought up in a religious family and had been taught to forgive. The two men eventually met up, and James was able to tell Leroy he forgave him. James said something in the TV interview that really struck me. He said it was one of the best things he'd ever done. I'm sure God helped him to do it. Let me finish by reading a passage from The Shack. It's where Mac is trying to come to terms with the thought of forgiving the man who killed his missy. Mac slid to the ground and leant back against the rock he had been sitting on. He studied the dirt between his feet. Papa, oh, I must tell you that in the book, God is referred to as Papa. Papa, I think I understand what you're saying, but it feels like if I forgive this guy, he gets off free. How do I excuse what he did? Is it fair to Missy if I don't stay angry with him? Mackenzie, forgiveness does not excuse anything. Believe me, the last thing this man is free. And you have no duty to justice in this. I will handle that. And as for Missy, she has already forgiven him. She has? Mac didn't even look up. How could she? Because of my presence in her, that's the only way true forgiveness is ever possible. Mac felt Papa sit down next to him on the ground, but he still didn't look up. As Papa's arms enfolded Mac, he began to cry. Let it all out, he heard Papa's whisper, and he finally was able to do just that. He closed his eyes as the tears poured out. Missy and her memories flooded his mind. Visions of colouring books and crayons and torn and bloody dresses. He wept until he had cried out all the darkness, all the longing and all the loss, until there was nothing left. With his eyes now closed, rocking back and forth, he pleaded, help me, Papa, help me. What do I do? How do I forgive him? Tell him. Mac looked up, half expecting to see a man he'd never met standing there, but no one was. How, Papa? Just say it out loud. There is power in what my children declare. Mac began to whisper in tones half-hearted and stumbling, and then with increasing conviction. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Papa held him close. Mackenzie, you are such a joy. When Mac finally collected himself, Papa handed him a wet cloth so he could wash his face. He then stood up, a little unsteady at first. Wow, he said hoarsely, trying to find any word that might describe the emotional journey he had just waded through. He felt alive. He handed the kerchief back to Papa and asked, so is it all right if I'm still angry? Papa was quick to respond, absolutely. What he did was terrible. He caused incredible pain to many. It was wrong, and anger is the right response to something that is so wrong. But don't let the anger and pain and loss you feel prevent you from forgiving him and removing your hands from around his neck. Papa grabbed his pack and threw it on. Son, you may have to declare your forgiveness 100 times the first day and the second day, but the third day will be less and each day after, until one day you will realize that you have forgiven completely. And then one day you will pray for his wholeness and give him over to me so that my love will burn from his life every vestige of corruption. Powerful stuff. I know it's only somebody's idea of how things might be, but I think it really speaks to us about how to go about forgiving. There's power in what we declare. It may take a long time, and we may have to say, I forgive, many times. And the person may never know we've said it, but God will. And he knows it's good for us. And we feel the burden lifting. Forgiving is good for us. God knows that. God is so good. Let me pray. Dear Lord, we acknowledge that we sometimes find it hard to forgive others. But we also recognize that you tell us to do it. Will you help us, we pray. As we recognize what you have done for us by your grace, will you give us the grace to extend that forgiveness to others, to let go of their throat and hand them to you, knowing you are perfect in all your ways. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing again as we reflect, acknowledging we need God so much every day. Let's sing, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Let's come now to a time of prayer. I think we should pray for the children and staff going back to school this week. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we bring before you all the children and young people and the teachers and staff who are starting back at school this week. Some may be anxious, unsure how things are going to be in this new normal. Some may be scared for their safety. Will you still fears? May children and adults alike know you are with them. We lift them to you, precious Lord, and pray blessing over them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And now let's join together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's finish our service in praise of our wonderful Saviour by singing Mighty to Save.
Our God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Amen. Let me speak a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week.